let's take our book of Nahum, Nahum chapter 1. We just got through the first three verses last Thursday, so we'll start at verse number 4. And Taylor had a little trouble with our video, but Dan's got it restored again. Let's read verses 4, 5, and 6. Nahum chapter 1, verses 4, 5, and 6 together. He rebuketh the sea, and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. Verse 5. The mountains quake in him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned in his presence, yea, the world, and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation, and who can revive his fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. And Nahum writes to which groups? I said last time maybe Israel, it's actually Judah, it's what he's writing to Judah. And what's the timing of this book? During whose reign, likely, is he writing this? It's Hezekiah, that's right, Hezekiah's reign. And what's the main topic? Judgment against whom? To Assyria. The capital is Nineveh, right up here in Nineveh, and all Assyria. Now, what was the prophet Jonah told to do by the Lord?
Preach.
Preach against Nineveh, the whole city is going to be slain. Did the Lord judge Nineveh in Jonah's day? No, he did not. Why?
Iniquity of the Ninevites wasn't
that yet. Well, the Ninevites wasn't that for him. What did the Ninevites do in starting the
campaign?
They repented. They changed their mind, and the Lord changed his mind. And so was Jonah happy that the Lord had repented?
No.
Jonah wasn't happy. He should be happy if he spares people, but his word was more important than God's grace and judgment. But now, about 150 years later, his name against Nineveh, and the Lord will judge them. Right, we talked the first three verses last time, but it talks about he rebuketh the sea, that's the Lord himself. Has he ever done this before?
Yes.
When did he do that?
The Red Sea.
The Red Sea. What happened to the Red Sea?
It was parted by the heat.
Parted, right and left, and Israel went right straight through on the dry land. Maketh it dry. The Lord is powerful to do that. And also the Israelites came into the land of promise. What did the Lord do for them there? Same thing. The River Jordan parted, and the tribes just walked in a dry land. Yes, Ma?
Could it be possible that with that oil leak and everything that's in the sea, that God's permitting this for a certain thing? It'd be wonderful if everybody's ready, if the president said, let's have a prayer meeting, pray about this matter.
Yes, it's certainly possible. It's within the Lord's purview to stop it if he wants to stop it. But
you know, that he could be rebuking the sea with the
yes.
With the oil, with the...
Yes, it's possible. Certainly, it's possible. Of course, the explosion apparently was made because of the negligence of the people who were running the operation. Apparently, they didn't do it right, and the testimony of some of those people that were had lost their loved ones was very graphic at the time on the television, as they said how this one man escaped death and he got out of the lifeboat and they had to lower it because everything was burning, and they heard shouts and crying and help save us, and just a terrible burning mess. But the graphic description that this witness gave before the Congress. But the Lord has his way, and the problem though that some have said was it terroristically motivated, I don't know. Certainly knocked off a lot of our oil, and certainly made our whole, all of our, many of our industries there with fisheries and so on completely stopped. And who knows, I don't know. And of course now the president's saying that nobody can drill any more oil for 6 months, whatever it is, how many months until he says so, which means the price of oil will shoot up and our gasoline will shoot up. So he's using this, of course he doesn't want oil anyway. He must be all being green, as if the whole thing can run by windmills, which is strange. Yes, Tammy?
It seems as though this may be using this to create more of a push towards environmentalism. Yeah.
Yes, environmentalism, that's right. So, but the Lord is the one in charge of the sea. When he wants to rebuke it and make it dry, he does. Dries up the rivers, and we said that, the River Jordan, and Bashan and Carmel, Flower, Lebanon languages. And then in verse number 5, the mountains quake at him. Did ever the mountains quake?
Mm-hmm.
When did they quake? Mount Sinai, there was some thunderous earthquake, wasn't it? And during the tribulation period, they're going to be quaking and earthquakes. In fact, the Lord predicted, didn't he, in the book of Matthew, earthquakes in diverse places. And Dr. Dan always mentioned diverse places at the same time. Earthquakes, earthquakes all over as a sign of the times. And he makes sometimes the earth. Now, we've got lots of earthquakes that have happened, haven't we? All kinds of them just recently, and tsunamis and different things. And the Lord has a message to tell the earth, I'm sure. That says the earth is burned at his presence. Burned. One day will he burn this earth up? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He won't destroy it by water anymore like in Noah's day. Questions at bftbc.org. If you want to give us an email or 856-261-9018. Give us a call. Tell us you're listening and have a question or comment. Yvonne?
Well, if you believe in the we're traditional texts, then you believe that. But the other texts, remember that sermon is something
from
the other texts.
As far as the earth burning up,
mm-hmm.
Yes, some of them do not have the fiery. So I mean, talk about judge the earth and go by water, but the earth is stored up with fire, as it says in the book of 1 and 2 Peter. And one day it will be burned in his presence. It will be a new heavens and a new earth. World and all that dwell therein. So that's going to judge, that's for sure. And then in verse number 6, the question is asked, who could stand before his indignation? What is indignation?
Anger.
Like in verse 2, revengeth and is furious. And again, vengeance in verse 2, we talked about that last week. And this is at whom or with whom is he indignant?
His enemies.
His enemies, all right? The ones that reject him and the ones that refuse to accept his gracious gift of eternal life and forgiveness through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? Now, abide in what sense? What would the abiding in the fierceness of his anger imply?
Can you live,
all right? Can you abide? Hellfire certainly exemplifies the fierceness of God's anger at sin and rejection of his Son, Lord Jesus Christ, does it not? Can any abide the fierceness of his anger in hell?
No.
They're going to be there for all eternity, but they can't get out of there. There's no way to leave. As an illustration was in Luke chapter 16, rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was a believer, the rich man was an unbeliever, and they're cast into hell or Hades, and you can't pass from one to the other. There's a great gulf fixed. There's a fixed gulf, so it's forever thrown down, poured out like fire. The rocks are even thrown down, and fierceness of anger, nobody can abide. Now, what is true of the bodies of those that are rejecting Christ and are landing in the lake of fire in heaven? What is true of their bodies?
They're eternal.
Pardon me?
They're eternal, and they'll be non-combustible,
you might say. They can't burn up. They're going to be in pain. It's going to be a terrible thing. It's just unimaginable what awaits those that have rejected Christ and how it should burden our hearts to encourage our loved ones and our friends and those we know to turn from the wrath of God. The earth is burned in his presence. Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? Fury is burning. Again, that's the word fury, like fire. What is the figure of speech give to us? Fury by fire. How would that be explained?
Swift.
Why do they be swift?
Fiery.
What else?
Fiery.
What else? Hot. All right. Fervent. Painful.
Frightening.
And so it was a serious thing. It also lends itself in results. Fire. If you got fire, you got a result of that. Burns, could be death, scars. So the fury is poured out like fire against Nineveh, apparently, and these others, and all the ones that reject him. And the rocks are thrown down by him. And in the book of Revelation, when the wrath of the Lamb is there, what do the sinners pray and ask for? Was it?
That the wrath of God.
Well, either that or they would, I guess, to hide them. I guess the wrath of God to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Sounds like it.
Something there.
Always. Yeah.
To they hide try them. To hide and they can't hide. No.
They'd rather have rocks fall upon them than the wrath of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're more afraid of the Lord than they are of wrath, of the rocks. So the rocks will be thrown down by him. And of course, we have that in earthquakes and many other things. And let's read verse number 7, 8, and 9 together. The Lord is good for the stronghold in the day of trouble, and he loveth them that trust in him. With an overrunning flood, and make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. What do you imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end, affliction shall not rise up a second time. That verse 7 is a beautiful verse, isn't it? What's the word called here? What is a stronghold?
Strong fort.
Alright, fort is strong. Does the president have a stronghold to hide in case of atomic attack? Where is that found? Of course, we don't know the exact place, but what is the type of? Does the vice president have a stronghold?
I've got an address for it. Oh, it's just outside of Washington, D.C., but there is a deep underground bunker.
Is that right? There's a known place.
Yeah, that's actually a known place because it's big.
I see. And what about the vice president? Does he have a place to go also?
Well, if he's in Washington, yeah.
He's in Washington. Place. Yeah. So there's safety, there's stronghold. What does a stronghold do?
Could hide you.
What else? Hide you from who? From what?
Other people,
enemies.
Other distractions.
What does a stronghold not do? What does a stronghold not do?
Sin.
Does it sink? It doesn't let you down. Yes,
yeah,
right?
That's it.
Camp David
has a place, a stronghold for the president.
You might.
All right, so.
There's another place for the president, someplace
where
that's where
Bush
went.
Yes,
another
there was some
place.
Other place. Kitty Bunkport. Kitty Bunkport, Maine or something?
Yeah, someplace like in Denver or someplace. They didn't tell me.
Again, let me ask, what does the stronghold do? What does the stronghold not do?
Doesn't seem.
The stronghold is supposed to prevent you from, in the sense of the nuclear stronghold, supposed to prevent you from any harm and nuclear damage. I think they figured out if you have so many feet, that there'll be so many feet below the earth, below the surface of the earth, there's some other circumstances, some other coverage possibly. Mm-hmm. But if the bunker is deep enough in the ground, depending on the type of bomb it is, the type of explosion it is, the stronghold is supposed to keep you safe.
Right.
And back before the nuclear war, a stronghold, sometimes castles were a stronghold of a sort. They had moats around them. They were very hard to get into the castle because they had a defensive system in the perimeter of the castle, outside the walls and so forth, with different techniques of catapults and different liquids that would boil and they would pour down the side of the wall for people that were trying to climb up the edge of the wall. So the idea of a stronghold is a place of protection, a place of safety. Not perceived protection, but perceived safety. Genuine, bona fide protection, genuine, bona fide safety. That's what a stronghold is. A place where you cannot be harmed from enemy, from without.
That's a good definition of a stronghold. Now, in what way is the Lord, if we're saved and born again and redeemed, a stronghold for those of us who are saved? In what sense?
We are saved in him forever.
Saved in him forever.
Exactly. My mother, we're high tower and she'd run into it and be saved.
All right.
All the troubles.
Yes, Tammy?
Be spiritually saved.
Spiritually saved. no matter what happens to the physical bodies.
You may not be physically safe.
That's correct. But now does that imply the Lord is our stronghold? Does that imply that we can lose our salvation? There's nothing implied in that. If He's a stronghold, He's got to keep us up. But do we keep saved by clinging to Him, or do we keep saved by His clinging to us?
His
clinging to us. Absolutely. We're fallen. We're sinners. We got the old nature, but a stronghold, especially when, in verse 7, is the Lord good? First of all, it's good. We've got to start with He's good. Absolutely. We don't forget that. Stronghold when, especially?
In the day of
trouble. Why would you need a stronghold in the day of trouble?
Because you don't have anything else in life.
Nothing else to think to, absolutely. Troublesome. Are we in trouble sometimes, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the whole world with the economic nature of things, and Greece and the United States, and $13 trillion in the red, and they keep spending and spending and spending. There's trouble, but the Lord is a stronghold. Spiritually, we're safe. We have to pray the Lord to keep us in the body and everything around us safe as well. Stronghold is good. It's a stronghold. They have trouble. What's the next part of verse 7 mean?
You know what the question
is. Yeah, what does that mean?
Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure.
Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and not everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I think it's 1st Timothy or 2nd Timothy 2:19. No, that's true. He put in the sense of knoweth them. What does that mean?
Knoweth them.
All right. In John chapter 10, what does the Lord Jesus say about His sheep?
My sheep hear My voice.
My sheep hear My voice.
And
I know them. And they follow Me.
I
give them eternal life.
They
shall never perish. He shall let any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father which gave them Me is greater than I, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one. So the sheep hear My voice, and I know them. So He knoweth them that trust in Him. What does it mean to trust in the Lord?
Rest.
Rest, just in the head. It's a heart. It's a sincere trust. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior. We can't
safe
just have head knowledge. Safe am I in the hollow of His hand. Resting o'er. He knoweth them that trust in Him. So He calleth them all sheep by name. He goeth before them. Remember, that's also in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, isn't it? Calleth them all by name, and goeth before them, and leads them, and so we follow them. So that's a wonderful verse to remember, to memorize. Where is good, first of all, stronghold, that Joel. Now let me ask you this. Do the people who will find His fear to be poured out like fire think He's good? Do those people think He's good? No, I wouldn't think so. They think He's a bad guy.
They figure it out pretty fast.
In fact, the people who do not believe in hell, as the Scripture gives it to us, and whosoever believe that should not perish, not of any, do not believe in perishing. They believe when you die, you just die like a dog, and you just vanish away. Those that deny that there's a hell, what do they think? Do they think God's good to provide that place of punishment? You think He's good for the bride
in
it?
Some of them believe that everybody will be redeemed in the end.
Yeah, that's true.
Regardless of whether they come to Christ or not. And that's referring to the head knowledge rather than the heart.
Yes. And those people that don't believe in hell, the lake of fire, do they think if it's true that God would not be good? That's why they want everybody to be saved. Universalism. But the Lord is good, and they know it, they have to trust in Him. Then in verse number 8, with an overflowing flood, you'll make an utter end place there. Floods come, floods will go, and apparently this could be a literal flood for Nineveh, could be a flood of harm in other ways. We've had lots of floods these days. Just think of Nashville, Tennessee floods. My wife's program couldn't even go on in the radio program because there was a flooding there. Questions at bfubc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or give an email, of course, if you haven't. The floods have just made things desolate, have they not? All homes destroyed. And we walk down the street now, they're in boats. So it's probably won't subside, but all the millions and billions of dollars that are spent on that destruction. And so floods are not pleasant. And we have floods all the time in the United States and other places of the world. And God says right here that there's, with overflowing flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof. I'll be speaking of Nineveh. Darkness will pursue his enemies. And darkness is not a good thing when you don't have any lights. So that's what God is going to do to the enemies. And then in verse number 9, the Lord gets into the thought life. What does he say about the thoughts of these, perhaps the Ninevites, they're against me?
Imagination.
What do you imagine against the Lord? Do people sometimes dream up things against the Lord? Yes, and they're angry at him. Everything goes wrong. They blame him. A lot of people blame him. Why did he do this? Why did he do that? So I'm like the little fellow over here at the laundromat. From Vietnam. Why did he make 9/11? Why did he do this? Why did your God do this? Huh?
Whenever there's a tragedy in the world, a lot of people are saying, how could God let this happen if there really is a God?
Yes. This is a standard complaint, isn't it?
Yeah.
And this is imagining evil, is it not? What do you imagine against the Lord? Imagination. And it says in the Scripture of the New Testament, bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. Every thought, every imagination. Not the high imagination. Yvonne?
This is a little off the subject, but imagine, there's this, I guess John Lennon wrote a song, Imagine, or something. I heard on the news, this one of the news people that we hear all the time on Fox, they just had another baby. Their first baby's middle name was Lennon, and this baby's McCarthy. McCarthy, is that the other singer?
Yes.
McCartney. I couldn't believe anybody would want to name their child after those people. And this man, we hear him all the time. Distinguished, you know, news person with heavy news. And he names his children
Lennon.
Middle names.
Oh,
okay. I couldn't believe it.
Certainly were evil people. They didn't believe in the Lord ever.
I'm still living, but I mean, why would you name your person after? I guess people have nothing better to name after. That's what I saw that imagine.
Yeah. And why would somebody we know name himself John Lennon? That's strange.
Well, that was
strange. A little bit of an imagination. Bill?
It's not as rare as you might think. There was a famous rock and roll star named Frank Zappa. He had two children, a daughter. He called her Moon Unit.
What is this?
He named his daughter when she was born Moon Unit.
Moon Unit. Moon
and
Unit.
His son he named Dweezil.
Dweezil? Are these other people? I don't know who they are.
Well, they're, you don't really want to know.
Okay, they're bad people?
Oh yeah, very bad. But the thing is, it's the world rebels in its wickedness.
Yes. Anna, you got something? Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9011. Yeah, Bob?
In defense of the person that called himself John, he was not mentally. Mentally, he wasn't completely thinking all the time.
That's correctly. True. We understand.
This man, I'm talking about.
Well, this is the person in reality, this popular newscaster.
Right.
On the national TV, whatever national station it is, he's got some problems.
Yes, he does.
Yes.
So we began to mind going.
You said he was just joking around, pretending there was somebody else, but this guy has actually put it down on paper.
Yeah, that's true.
On the birth certificate.
I know, and so, I saw the baby and the middle name. I don't know what it's for saying this. And they said we should have played
Paul McCartney.
Yeah, but the baby's not Paul. Oh. Somebody McCartney. And they said, we should have played this love song. Somebody said, you know, every time I see him, I'm going to think he's a little wacky.
Well, so, imagining he against the Lord, what do you imagine? He will make an utter end. When will that happen? When will that happen? The utter end, of course, in Nineveh, the near interpretation, when he destroys Nineveh. But what about the far interpretation? Will there be an utter end? this world.
Is it after the millennium?
After the millennium is over, the heavens, new heavens and a new earth, the former things will pass away. Make another end. An affliction shall not arise up the second time. So there will not be, after that, everybody will be gone, and they'll either be in heaven or hell, the true destination. Guy Carter wrote me an email today, and he said he's talking with someone that's in the Convert Society, who's a Roman Catholic, and he said they're talking about heaven, talking about hell, and there are some verses that show that when we die, if we're saved and born again, we go immediately into the presence of the Lord. And if we don't accept Christ, we go immediately into hell. And so I gave him some verses on that, but this is important. So not rise up the second time. Once God judges and makes another end, there's no more fighting, no more battle. It's done. Now let's read verse number 10, 11, and 12 together. For while they be trodden together, folded together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble, fully dry. There is one comes out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord, and a wicked counsel. Thus saith the Lord, though they be quiet, with likewise many, yet there shall they be eat, let down, and when it shall cast through. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. By verse 10, they're going to be folded together as thorns of his enemies. I don't know much about thorns rolled together, but why would somebody fold together thorns?
Well, they probably stick together.
Well, maybe stick together. Is that a thorn something you want in your garden?
Thorns? Well, it protects the plant.
Protects the plants from the bugs and all. But usually the thorns and thistles are not something that you want to you don't want to grow. They just grow normally, right? So they fold up probably to throw them away. In the book of John, chapter 15, talks about the one that doesn't have the fruit, if there's no fruit, they burn those things up, and the twigs, they're no value. So the thorns bundled up, and they that are drunken as drunken, while they are drunken as drunken, they should be devoured as stubble, fully dry. Apparently, the Ninevites are going to be drunks. At the feast of Belshazzar, Book of Daniel, you remember they were drinking, and then the Lord just judged the whole crowd. So apparently this is going to be a big drinking party, which happens quite frequently in this world, as you know. In the military, every Friday night, that's the time when they go and have their drunken parties. And as a Navy chaplain, I observed that thing, not that I drank any, but happy hour, that's what they call it. Does alcohol make you happy, really? It's just it's just an effect. But drunken as drunkards. How would you define a drunkard?
Someone that's lost a sense of judgment.
I've lost a sense of judgment. And really is addicted to alcohol.
Slave to drinking.
Slave. Can't put it down, and that's a terrible thing. And certainly we hope that drunkards would finally realize that they come to their end. Like the television man that's on Fox, was a drunkard all of his life, and he changed. Why for that? And so the man that led me to Christ was a drunkard for 30 years, Uncle Charlie Allen. And finally the Lord saved him, threw that stuff away, and all the other things that went with it. And so the Lord is able to bring peace out of drunkards if they trust in Him. That's wonderful.
Was he still working? Was he working drunkard?
I don't know. All I know is that's what he told me. That was his testimony. So the Lord saved him. You know, can a man who's a drunkard still work at his job? Sometimes. If, you know, just a couple of sweats, you know, hide it somewhere and just keep going. Am I right? And so I think probably that was his case.
Maybe drink at night.
No, it could be. But the Lord saved him and changed him around, and that's where he led me to Christ, because he was a saved person himself.
So that was the problem with Mr. Wilson, too.
Yeah, Mr. Wilson, our Spanish teacher, was a drunkard. And he went to AA and all these other things. My wife had a testimony to it. That's when I first saw she was a Christian, in the boiler room of Uncle Charlie. He was a janitor of our high school, Green High School. And Mr. Wilson was down there one day. We were talking about things. And, "No, you're one of those Baptists," he said. Well, I said, "Well, I'm Baptist, but I'm first of all a Christian." And she gave a testimony. And we came back to Brea High School 5 or 10 years ago, I don't know how long it's been, to one of the class meetings. They went over to see Mr. Russell.
For 50th.
For 50th anniversary of the graduation. And he lived right next to your father's house, am I right?
Yeah, but couple doors down. Right.
Your dad didn't live there anymore, but very close on Baker Street. Knocked on his door, said, "Hello, Mr. Wilson." We talked to him, gave him our testimony. He was just as atheistic as the day is long. So as far as I'm concerned, we need to believe in a higher power. See, the higher power stuff is, of course, is AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. As far as I'm concerned, that piano over there could be a higher power. That's what he said. He's dead now, and he just denied it. But it's a sad thing. The drunkards, hard to stop the drinking. You don't just, that's why Alcoholics Anonymous is not the way to go. It helps some people, but certainly it's devoid of genuine biblical theology. Drunkard is a drunkard, and as there will be divine struggle for it, so none of them will be judged by the Lord in that way. And then verse number 11, there's one that come out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord. Now, do people today imagine evil against the Lord? Do they?
Yes.
Right? Why do they, do you think?
I wonder what the evil against the Lord means.
Well, for instance, I was reading a question and answer, and I'm trying to get a second question and answer book, 200 more questions. One of the questions was asked, what about the man up there in Princeton? What's his name? Metzger, Bruce Metzger. He doesn't believe in the Bible. He doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he thinks if you don't have the right Bible, you don't have the right picture of the Savior. And so evil, some of the evil that they imagine could be changing all the doctrines of the faith. Now, that certainly is evil against the Lord, is it not? Saying he's just a man, saying he's not really our Savior, couldn't save us. Really. So imagine evil. They do imagine evil. Why do they imagine evil? What is the purpose? They reject him. First of all, as we said earlier, they probably blame him for a lot of things. Anything that goes bad, blame it on the Lord. Why didn't they stop?
It's also idolatry, isn't it? Because they want to believe that it's the way they imagine it.
Yeah.
You know, if there is a God, it's got to be the kind of God that they imagine.
Yes, in their own mind, making it up. That's a good idea. Imagine evil against the Lord. Now, Moses, a wicked counselor. There's one come out of thee, a wicked counselor. What do we know about counselors?
That's what they think the Lord is a wicked counselor.
They think the Lord is a wicked counselor. Is one of the names of the Lord counselor? Mm-hmm. Where do we find that?
Isaiah
9 and verse 6. His name should be called Wonderful Counselor. Now the new versions put no comma between there, like the King James Bible. They use it as an adjective, Wonderful Counselor. So you know, it's wonderful is one name, counselor is another. And what does it say about, in Psalm 1, about counsel with wicked?
Walk
in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners. What is it?
So it's
sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight shall be in the law of the Lord. His law he shall abide day and night. So the wicked counselor, if that's half the reason why people go astray, is because they have wicked counselors. People, for instance, at school, we have counselors, they have counseling sessions, and sometimes the counselors counsel them wrong and astray. And here they have a wicked counselor to mention. I'm going to stop right here for tonight, but do you have any other comments or questions before we close? Wicked counselor. I remember the Navy, I was a counselor for many people, 2,000 or 3,000, maybe 4,000 in those 5 years when I was a Navy chaplain. They come to the office, they have this problem. Try to give them good counsel, not wicked counsel. They didn't always keep it. They said they didn't have follow it. And that's true, of course. Other comments or questions before we close? All right, let's close in your word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank thee for this book of Nahum. Thou hast given to us, we thank thee that Nahum was a prophet that was honest and fair, and that this group of people in Nineveh hated thee. Thou didst have to be furious against them with indignation and judgment. Thank thee that thou art a good God and a stronghold for those of us who have put their trust in thee and in thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we follow him, may we continue to find in that Bible that God's given to us, our Bible, a stronghold against evil, against wickedness, and a protection that God has planted within that book as we study, as we read it, as we follow and believe. Go with us, guys, be with us, take care of our individual needs, those here at our church tonight and those listening by other means. Bring us safely back on the Lord's Day as we worship Thee in service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming.